Ideas, bringing you a debate between the Republican primary candidates for the Illinois House in the 105th District. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The election is about a month away. Joining us at the Illinois State University Alumni Center in Normal are the candidates, incumbent Republican Representative Dan Brady and challenger David Paul Blumenschein. Also joining us for this live broadcast is our audience. Thanks to everyone for attending this forum. This debate will feature questions developed by WGLT News with public input from those submitted at WGLT.org. There will also be time for opening and closing statements and for responses by the opposing candidates. This forum is co-sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters and the McLean County Republican Party. And we should also note, on Valentine's Day, 100 years ago, the League of Women Voters was formed. This is their centennial year. The League's Susan Alford and Becky Hines are serving as our timekeepers. We determined the order by lot, with the lowest number going first, and after that, rotating among candidates. We will ask as many questions as time permits during this forum, because this is live radio with a hard end time. Candidates may have an abbreviated but equal amount of time to answer the final question. As moderator, I will call on candidates to make clarifying comments and pose follow-up questions as needed. That brings us to our opening statement by David Paul Blumenschein. David, you have 2 minutes for your opener.
Thank you, Charlie. And thank you, League of Women Voters, WGLT, my campaign team, a lot of them are here tonight, and the thousands of people who have offered their support. I also say thank you to my family and my wife, who's not able to be here tonight. She had a medical procedure last week, so she is probably listening. I'm hopeful that she's listening. Things you say versus what you do, because it's an election year. Listen to these truths, because numbers don't lie. Illinois has not had a balanced budget since 2001, Representative Brady's first year in office. We have spent more money than we have brought in every year since 2002. Our state has had the worst credit rating in the USA since 2010. We lead the nation in people moving out for 6 consecutive years. The debt we owe is over $250 billion. Yes, billion with a B. It was $4 billion when Representative Brady took office 20 years ago. Representative Brady voted yes this past summer to raising our taxes 20 different ways with a $45 billion spending bill. Speaker Madigan could have passed this bill without one Republican vote. We desperately need pension modernization, tax cuts, freezes, fair maps, so voters pick legislators, not the other way around, term limits, in order to avoid career politicians who pander to special interests rather than people, and we are beyond the need, by many years, for ethics reform. Corruption rules our state.
Time is up. Representative Dan Brady, your turn for an opener.
Good evening, and thank you to our sponsor of tonight's forum, WGLT, and the McLean County League of Women Voters, and the McLean County Republican Party, and Illinois State University, and all of you for your attendance and your interest in government. In the past year, the Illinois General Assembly, we had our first full session with Governor Pritzker. We saw a number of policy issues in the spring legislative session, dealing with minimum wage, recreational marijuana, the Health Care Reproductive Act. Issues I voted no on. We were at also able to forge a bipartisan budget and capital plan for the operations of the state budget and infrastructure. The fiscal year 2020 budget is a responsible compromise that puts Illinois on a path to fiscal sustainability. It's an honest look at our revenue and expenditures. It's the result of honest compromise. The budget also includes pro-growth job initiatives by House Republicans, such as reinstatement of the manufacturer's purchase credit to encourage further investments in manufacturing in Illinois. There was also an increase in funding for K through 12 schools, a 5% increase to Illinois State University, and an increase to MAP grants and the AIM High College Scholarship programs, helping our college students reduce their college debt. After 2 years of no budgets, this budget represents a good faith agreement to address critical pro-business reforms the state's operations budget needs, and the state's operation budget was passed with no new taxes. Included was $1.2 billion in this budget to pay down old bills and make full payment to our pension system. We also invested in our state's crumbling infrastructure with a capital budget plan that will provide critical infrastructure dollars for repairs, for new construction, for our roads, bridges, and buildings, producing jobs in the 105th.
Thank you
to all, and I look forward to our discussion.
You're listening to a special Sound Ideas and a 105th District State House debate live from the ISU Alumni Center in Normal. Ideas for questions for tonight's forum were submitted at WGLT.org by members of the public. Steve Seabade of Normal, Adam Schaufelberger of Normal, and Mark Cotty of Hudson all posed pension system questions. The question is, how do you think the public pension underfunding system underfunding issue should be addressed? And Representative Brady, you have first take on this one.
Well, in order to fill a hole regarding pensions, you have to stop digging first. And that is a particular challenging issue because of the fact of what can be passed and what can be upheld by the Supreme Court of the state of Illinois. In past sessions, we have had legislation that was found not to be upheld by the Supreme Court. We most recently, Leader Jim Durkin and I from our caucus, have looked again at Senate Bill 16. Senate Bill 16 was a piece of legislation that was in the Senate and passed and did not come over to the House. It has the bill containing pension reform and Tier 3 plans funding changes, employer accountability changes, and defined contribution plans, all that have the potential, we believe, to withstand the court's rulings. It was embraced by many organizations and groups because they had to compromise of parts of that legislation that passed the Senate. I think it holds great potential for us to try and take and bring back in Springfield as we begin back to Springfield next week in the spring session.
David Hall Blumenschein, how do you think the public pension underfunding issue should be addressed?
Well, as I said in my opening remarks, you know, we continue to dance around this, and we need to take the complex and simplify it. If you're looking for a simple answer, I would have all the listeners and anybody out in the audience pull up the comptroller's report that just came out yesterday. It's pretty simple. It details our liabilities, details our assets. Representative Brady pointed out Governor Pritzker's State of the State address. Not once did he mention the pension crisis this state faces. I find that unbelievable. The one issue that has the ability to put us into a death spiral, the governor in his second State of the State address doesn't even mention it? I'm not going to belabor a lot of political talk because that does nothing. I don't even know half of what Representative Brady just said. I know this. We are accruing $9.1 billion every year. Not me, it says it right here. Commission of Government Forecasting and Accountability, another one you can pull up on the internet. $9.1 billion. We have yet to make an interest payment. Yet. They are projecting we will not make a full interest payment until 2028.
Thank you, Mr. Blumenschein. Let's continue on with the fiscal side of things. A number of budgetary think tanks have said Illinois cannot solely cut its way out of a budget, a structural budget deficit. Governor Pritzker, as we all know, has proposed a progressive income tax structure which would raise revenue. Voters will decide that constitutional amendment question in November. The question is, how do you think the state should fix the deficit, with cuts or revenue enhancements or some other mechanism? And Mr. Blumenschein, you will go first.
Well, it says that right here in this report. Susan Mendoza says that revenue increased last year, yet here we go. It didn't do anything to the bottom line. In fact, they're talking about negative amortization. Now, that's a big term. It means that we're gaining. Even though we get more revenue coming from taxation, we're gaining in our liabilities. What needs to happen is we need to cut taxes. We need to freeze them. We need to cut spending. It's not going to be easy. It took us 20 years to get here. I commented, $4 billion when Representative Brady took office. Over $250 billion. We're going in the wrong direction. Taxes won't fix that. Spending won't fix that. Cutting spending will. There's a budget solution out there in 2018. There's many smart people out there, a lot smarter than I am, that can figure this out. There's other states that have done it. Why aren't we looking to other people? They've given us the lowest credit rating. There are smart people out there that can help Illinois. Instead, corruption leads. We know that. That's in the news. That's a first start. Get rid of the corruption, first and foremost.
Representative Brady, how do you think the state should deal with the deficit, with cuts, revenue enhancements, or other mechanisms?
Well, first off, Charlie, let's go back to my first term in office. Governor George Ryan was the governor then. The state of Illinois had a balanced budget. The state of Illinois had a rainy day fund with millions of dollars in it. The state of Illinois had a fund of surplus money in it and paid its bills within 30 days. Fast forward to where we are today. That was the last time we had a Republican majority either in the Senate, because we have not had in the House as I've been there. As far as the pension side of things goes, it's a combination, as I said earlier, and it's going to be a combination, as my opponent has referred to, a report. Let's don't forget that report takes in what the end of the fiscal year was at June 30th of last year. What's not mentioned in that report is the millions of dollars that the state is now incurring paying out in pension liabilities of lawsuits that were filed against the 2 years under Governor Rauner and Speaker Madigan of no budgets. And we are now paying for that. And that's very easy to see in this report, which has not, by the way, been finalized or audited. And I would just simply say that when you talk about the combination of revenue and when you talk about the combination of cuts, I'm all for cuts. I'm all for fiscal responsibility and belt tightening when it comes to Springfield. And if it was up to me, totally in the House of Representatives, that'd be different. But it's not. And I have to work with the majority party, and I have to represent the 105th District.
Thank you, Representative Brady. This is 89.1 FM and WGLT.org, and a special edition of Sound Ideas, bringing you a candidates forum with the Republican candidates for the 105th District State House seat. Gary Lambert of Bloomington wants to know about taxation levels and when the candidates would or would not vote for increased taxation. Let's make this likely to be more than a single word answer. Please give your thoughts about what taxes should pay for, what's an appropriate level of taxation to pay for the services you believe the state should offer, and how to get there from where the state is now. Representative Brady, you start.
First off, I think if you're talking about taxation, which no one likes to talk about taxation, we have a reality of a budget and services we have to provide. I think the best thing we could do is get back to our priorities in state government. And those priorities rest with public education, public infrastructure, and public safety when it comes to spending. From the tax side of things, I have advocated the fact that if we're going to tax anything, we are going to tax those that have a user fee tax. And that's similar to what we've talked about when it comes to our infrastructure bill. When you look at other taxation that's occurred throughout Springfield, it's the dedicated tax and putting the money to where it's supposed to go, that is the problem. And that's been a historic problem since I've been in Springfield. And certainly our spending outpaces the revenue. And there's a number of ways that we can try and control that spending. And I believe you'll see or hear coming up in the new budget address next week that the governor's going to talk about those state agencies and being capped at 5 to 6% of spending.
Mr. Blumenschein, your turn about the appropriate level of taxation and what taxes should pay for.
Yes, Dan kind of summed that up. We need taxes. No one's saying get rid of all taxes. However, what I'm saying at this point right now is we need a mandatory freeze on all taxes. We cannot pivot off real estate, income, and sales tax. I think we've got to choose which one we're going to pivot off of. We don't have the affordability of time. People are leaving. This exodus isn't going to stop. Taxation's driving that. The tax that Representative Brady voted for, he voted yes to double our gas tax. And there were 19 other taxes included in that. I will not vote in the self-imposed 8 years that I've put on myself for any new taxes. No way, no how. We haven't figured out in Springfield how to manage the money that we know we're getting. The comptroller says it. We don't have an income problem. We have a spending problem. That tax, gas tax, has an automatic inflationary mechanism that happens every year. He didn't raise the tax just last year. Representative Brady voted to raise the tax forever.
As a point of clarification, that went toward a capital bill and not toward operations.
Well, don't let facts get in the way, Charlie.
This is 89.1 and WGLT.org and Sound Ideas. We're here at the ISU Alumni Center with State Representative Dan Brady and GOP primary challenger David Paul Blumenschein. Let me set the stage.
Hey, wait a second,
Charlie. Do I get a follow-up?
Okay. Because you just kind of interjected there a little bit. Yeah.
Dan can have a minute follow-up then.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. To follow up briefly on that, our gas tax hasn't been raised in the state of Illinois since 1990. If we had back then set an inflationary measure in that particular piece of legislation at that time, we would be at the 19 cents to where we raised it at today, for a total of 38. Yes, we're going to have planning in the future of the stability of investments of our roads, our bridges, and our infrastructure. But the reality is that we have to pay for that. And when you talk about capital, and the very university room that we sit in depends on that capital in a major way to operate one of the largest economic engines in the state of Illinois. It happens to be in my district, Illinois State University. So it comes with a price. And that price is the fact that we have to look at investment. And one other thing,
thank you, Dan.
By the lockbox provision and the constitutional amendment that the voters passed to do that with the gas tax.
And 1 minute for Mr. Blumenschein.
Well, if you believe there's a lockbox in Springfield, well, wow. Wow. Charlie, you'd mentioned it's going towards the Capitol bill. When are we going to stop playing the shell game? I don't care if you call it a capital bill, linear, vertical. We don't have the money. Illinois State University is near and dear to my heart. I have five siblings and myself that all graduated right here. Two brothers that played on the gridiron. Yeah, I want all the best for Illinois State. However, we need to look at cutting spending. And Illinois State University has survived for many years. Illinois State University was going to get the capital money irregardless how the vote went, because the vote already, they had the votes. Madigan didn't need a single Republican vote.
Thank you, sir. This is 89.1 and WGLT.org. Let me set the stage for this next question. The number of shooting incidents in Bloomington Normal rose sharply last year to more than 50, even though the number of fatalities fell from the previous year. Police chiefs in Bloomington Normal cite gun culture and the availability of guns, not mental health factors, as the chief reasons for the increase in shooting incidents. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in Bloomington Normal is calling for better background checks and gun safety education. What do you want to do to reduce gun violence in Illinois and in McLean County? And Mr. Blumenschein, you are first.
Well, I think first and foremost, you talked about 50 gun crimes, but we never talk about that those crimes are illegal gun crimes. I happen to have the privilege of working with young people day in, day out, and you're right, there is a fascination with guns. And most of them aren't of age to actually own a gun. But I'm pretty certain that a lot of them have guns. We know that, evidenced right out here, just to the north and to the west. We had a shooting over Christmas Eve. Yeah, not a legal gun. I am pro Second Amendment, fully. I actually believe that we should encourage legal gun ownership. This is not a matter of a gun grab. We need responsible gun ownership, and that comes through education. As far as the gun culture of illegal guns, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us. Law enforcement.
Representative Brady, what do you want to do to reduce gun violence in Illinois and McLean County?
Well, first off, I'm pro Second Amendment as well. And a FOID card carrier myself and hunter. And I would tell you that my exposure from the gun side of things is those individuals that are law-abiding citizens are being the ones that are being penalized for following the letter of the law when it comes to what they are supposed to do, when it comes to renewal of a FOID card, if they can even get that done in the time frame in which it's supposed to be specified under law. And as far as discussions of repealing or enhancing background checks and doing other things, we've got so many different layers right now of background checks, of fingerprint, of different areas to try and cautiously look at who are the owners of guns. We can't get those enforced. Before we go creating anything else new, we have to get that enforced. And we can only do that by making that a priority. And that gets back to many other things we can discuss about what goes on in our state budget.
A new question, 90 seconds each. According to the latest estimate from the Census Bureau, Illinois' population decreased by more than 51,000 people in 2019. The candidates have already noted that is the sixth consecutive year of decline. On the surface, very startling. Demographers offer context that the rate of loss is similar to other Midwestern states. In other words, it's not all what Illinois is doing or not doing. Ray Sheldon of Downs and Diane Neely of Bloomington both had questions on this at WGLT.org and asked what the General Assembly should do to affect the trend. Representative Brady, you get first crack at that one.
I'm sorry, Charlie, I only caught part of what you're saying.
The population. The census? The population
loss. The outward migration.
Right.
The outward migration is only going to come and get better for some of the things that we did from the House Republican side of things and keeping some of the additional taxes that the majority party wanted in the budget and in that particular capital side of things. We negotiated a number of individual taxations out. Almost 650 million new taxes we kept out. I think that's pretty amazing for the minority party to be able to negotiate and stop that amount of additional taxation in this state. That's a start, number one. Number two, the outward migration means we can only try and have like companies that are still with us and expanding and doing well, like Nussbaum Trucking, like Brandt Industry, like potentially, hopefully, Rivian when they come in and get going. We can only have that to be an example to others. And we have to look at things that we've looked at very thoroughly and tried to pass in a very difficult climate, and that is things that will help businesses that want to not only be here but stay here when it comes to workers' compensation, when it comes to manufacturing rates, when it comes to a number of things at all centers back to the operations of what the state can do to make this state more attractive for business to not only attract but keep them here.
Mr. Blumenschein.
We are taxed to death. And beyond being taxed to death is this $45 billion spending bill. Here it is. We have a bill that was passed by people who are currently walking out of office, resigning, who have openly admitted that they've committed fraud, they're indicted, they're under federal investigation, and we had Republican members of our General Assembly voting for a bill that was laced and riddled with corruption. We don't know all about the pickleball courts and the dog parks and everything else that was padded into that $45 billion spending. We want to fix Illinois. You want to stop the people from moving out? Then we need to lead the way in standing up and fighting corruption in the state. We lead the country in legal corruption. That's not me telling you that. That's the University of Chicago. That is Harvard University that has done these studies, and they have come up that we lead the country. Chicago's number one. That has been going on not just in the last 2 years, not in the last 4 years, not in even the last 20 years. It's been going on for a long time. We need to address it.
Thank you, sir. Scientists have been sounding the alarm on human-caused climate change for decades, from the burning of fossil fuels. Now comes scientific data showing many coastal cities around the world will likely be underwater sometime in the next century, and that Illinois can expect extreme weather events to proliferate and Texas-like temperatures to be common. What should Illinois do to affect the level of carbon dioxide, methane, and other greenhouse gases going into the atmosphere from human activity? How fast should we act? Mr. Blumenschein, you start.
As a conservative Republican, Charlie, I don't even know where to begin addressing that. There's so much conflicting information out there on what exactly is going on when it comes to climate change. I think somewhere in that question I heard something about seas rising, tornadoes coming, billionaires continuing to buy property, coastal property. That makes no sense. Why are people continuing to buy along coastal areas if suddenly the oceans are rising, Charlie? I don't even know how to answer that question. Right now, this country is hitting on all cylinders because of fossil fuel. It is the cheapest, most affordable means of transporting and getting people from point A to point B. I'm all into Rivian, electric, wind, but if it's not affordable and it's not as long-lasting as what we currently have, I think we need to go back to the research.
Representative Brady.
I think that one of the things that are important, we have a massive bill in Springfield right now, and actually started last year, of an energy bill. I think what's important with that bill that's sitting right now, and primarily sitting, is that, number one, we start with the fact that the energy companies aren't going to be the ones and shouldn't be the ones writing the legislation. And that's what's going on now. That has to change, because what we're trying to do in energy efficiency change legislation is protect the consumer, trying to stabilize rates, trying to take care of those who need the help when it comes to their cost of their energy and their electricity in the state. The way to do that and the way to start is not have the energy companies writing the legislation.
Point of clarification, is that the Future Energy Jobs Act you're referencing?
I'm sorry?
Is that the Future Energy Jobs Act you're referencing?
Yes.
Okay. This is GLT's Sound Ideas and a debate between the candidates for the 105th State House seat, challenger David Paul Blumenschein and incumbent Representative Dan Brady. An education section now. Representative Brady, this goes to you first. Carl Gakey of Bloomington asked at WGLT.org, what do you commit to doing to ensure that the promise of the evidence-based funding model for K-12 public education is fulfilled?
Well, in the budget that's been discussed here, one of the things is the fact of the amount of dollars that we just put towards the new funding formula. And I want to be as close as I can with that, so I'm going to look at a note here. About $375 million to the evidence-based funding formula was put in the present FY20 budget, that increase. That's a major start, but I think with the evidence-based funding formula, what's so important is the fact that we've leveled the playing field between districts on different locations of the state of Illinois and what they receive from the state on a per pupil amount. And I think that is something, as the evidence-based funding formula plays out, will be something that's more stable. My time in Springfield, there has been an increase of dollars of K through 12 funding per pupil for as long as I can remember in budgets. What we have to do is make sure, as much as we possibly can from the legislative standpoint, that those dollars are getting into the classroom.
Mr. Blumenschein.
Yes, Representative Brady's correct. We need to get those dollars into the classroom. Unfortunately, that's not where those dollars are going right now. Bureaucracy is controlling those dollars. When you look at the top end of the teachers, as far as what they're earning, versus the superintendents, administrations, when you look at how we can actually fund more money going in to the classroom, you have to start looking at what we're currently doing. And what we're currently doing is upside down. If all the money is flowing into 800 plus school districts, I think it's 850 now, most states, and this gets back to cutting spending, do it on a county-based school district. We've got so much fat and so much abuse going on in our current structure that isn't the teachers. I'm married to one, 31 years teaching kindergarten. I want the money in the classroom. I want the money to go to teachers, not to bureaucrats.
Do either of you want to follow up on that one?
My follow-up would be where my action is put in my recent vote that I supported twice voting for a mandatory $40,000 base salary for teachers across the state of Illinois.
And 1 minute also for Mr. Blumenschein, if he wishes to add.
Well, I mean, what else can be said about that? Here in the good old Illinois, we have over 7,000 units of government. You have a state like Florida that has 1,650 units of government. We have 5,350 more units of government. And then we start talking about do we have enough money to put in the classroom? Well, we put more money right now into the education system than every state that surrounds us. By 30%.
Lynn Landon says she is a proud alumnus of Illinois State University. Illinois State University is also a major employer and economic engine in Bloomington Normal. Mr. Blumenschein, what would you do to support and advance ISU?
Oh, like I said earlier, this is my alma mater, right? My siblings went here. I graduated. I started working on a master's in special education here. I think it's one of the top universities in the country. However, it also resides in the state of Illinois. And yes, there's going to be a capital need in the state of Illinois. And there's going to be capital need for the University of Illinois and all of our universities. Specifically, Illinois State University, I think we need to go back to some of the alum for some of these projects, like the Fine Arts Center, like the Bone Student Center. I know that automatically money is going to flow back to the university just through the way the budget is structured. However, Illinois State University is not going to be exempt for what lies ahead of us. I mean, we continue just to blow through stop signs as if we're going to stop this juggernaut. Representative Brady just told you that his time in office has led to where we're at today. $4 billion, $250 billion, raising taxes, spending more money, more capital plans. We haven't had the money for the Fine Arts Center that was promised since 2009, the last time they had a capital spending bill. We don't have it now.
Thank you, sir. Representative Brady, in your case, the form of the question has to be, what have you done to support and advance ISU? Lynn Landon wants to know.
Well, first off, let's don't forget we live in Illinois. There's many of us that love Illinois. Do many of us know the great potential this state has? There's many of us that try and work on that behalf every single day, and we call us home. When you talk about Illinois State University and what I've done and what I've tried to do as Minority Spokesman on Appropriations Committee, is I've tried to work with the majority party on a number of things, and number one, the financial side of things for our students relieving that debt, trying to keep our best and brightest here. Most recently, and you can talk about the fact of what this capital bill is or isn't, but the reality is that the money has been released on two different occasions for planning money of almost $14 million for the Fine Arts Center, and now the remainder of that money that's going to be released. What I've done is I helped broker a deal for an additional $40 million deferred maintenance in Illinois State University's budget, the present budget that we have in capital. The capital bill that doesn't make any difference. The capital bill that doesn't help pay for jobs. The capital bill that doesn't help keep this state and this particular university functioning as one of the largest economic engines and employers in my district. And on top of that, we appropriated $89 million for Milner Library and the renovation of Milner Library. Those are just a few things we've done with capital, tangible dollars. I don't represent the University of Illinois. I don't represent Western, Southern. I represent Illinois State.
It's possible that Mr. Blumenschein will want a one-minute follow-up on that.
Oh, yeah. We know that Representative Brady voted yes for the capital bill to raise our taxes. So now we know what that yes came with. We know that Speaker Madigan did not need his vote. He voted yes. We know what Illinois State University got. It was published in the paper, it's been on the radio, it's been on social media. What did the rest of us taxpayers here in this audience tonight and listening, what did we get out of that yes vote?
Mr. Brady, Representative Brady, your 1 minute to answer his question, I guess.
Yeah. We had a 19 cents gas increase. That's what we had, ladies and gentlemen. That hasn't been done since 1990. Since 1990, that hasn't been done. That's how we're going to pay for it. That's something I'm very concerned with, is how we're going to pay for these things. We didn't propose new taxes that aren't a possibility to actually do. That's what we did with the gas bill. And that's what we did with the infrastructure bill. And that's what we did with the bill that has been asked for by many, many people, including the State Chamber of Commerce, who is a pro-business group, as pro as you can get, as well as the unions, yes, who are going to have jobs and jobs of people who work and pay taxes.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're at the ISU Alumni Center with State Representative Dan Brady and GOP primary challenger David Paul Blumenschein, candidates for the State House in the 105th District. This forum is co-sponsored by WGLT and the McLean County League of Women Voters. Representative Brady, you get first crack at this one. It's a long setup, so bear with me. The General Assembly funds public universities in Illinois with a specific appropriation for each university. ISU President Larry Dietz has suggested a funding formula based on a per-student allotment would be a fairer way to do that for public universities. He bases his position on the fact ISU enrollment has remained steady, even as many other campuses in the state have had falling enrollment, and that means that ISU has effectively been penalized for its success because it is last in line in the state by a country mile when you look at funding on a per-student basis. What do you think of a funding formula proposal for higher education and the pros and cons of that idea rather than a flat appropriation? And Representative Brady, you're first.
Can you read that over, Charlie?
Yeah. Happy to.
As far as the question goes, Illinois State's blessed to have strong enrollment numbers, variety of reasons for that, and that's great. We're very glad to have that. Illinois State received in this budget that had no new taxes in it, an additional 5%, $3.2 million more for a little over $69 million in their operating budget from the state of Illinois. As far as per pupil goes, if you want to break things down per pupil, Illinois State's third in receiving an allotment from the state of Illinois in appropriations for higher education. If you break it down per pupil, because your per pupil numbers are so very, very strong here at Illinois State, you could say that, and I'd like to move them up in a funding formula. We don't have that funding formula right now in Springfield as it pertains to higher education. Many of us have been working on it, but we felt it was important first to come up with legislation and grant program that helps our students through the MAP grants and the Aim High program. And at the end of the day, when you look at the fact of those large percentage of students, what helps Illinois State is a fair percentage of those students come here paying full freight. And that is very important to Illinois State University. So when we're going to shift the numbers and create a funding formula, there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers, and that's what makes it so difficult. We also have eight other state universities that those representatives like to advocate for theirs.
Mr. Blumenschein, how do you feel about the question of a funding formula as opposed to a flat appropriation for ISU?
I think Representative Brady did a very good job answering it. One of the things I don't think that President Dietz has taken into consideration is I also was able to print off this report from the Auditor General, and I know that Representative Brady likes to point to the taxation and the raising of the gas tax that hasn't been done forever, but I actually encourage you all to go out and pull off this report. It doesn't take too long to get into the report, and it's highlighted by late payment of statutory mandated transfers, failure to identify financial statement reporting errors, inadequate process to determine claim liabilities, misappropriation, noncompliance with the Illinois lottery law, noncompliance with statutory mandated timelines, inadequate controls of fiscally monitoring managed care organizations. You know, Charlie, for me, everything is on the table and it's negotiable for every session that I will be part of. The only thing that is non-negotiable is the disadvantage in this state. Too long we have taken money away from those who need it the most. I work with those individuals every day, or some of those individuals. We need to stop playing games. And the formulas and the funding formulas are Ponzi schemes. That's been proven. We're $250 billion in the hole.
Thank you, sir. New question. There were three news conferences around the state today on the topic of a constitutional amendment to end gerrymandering by both parties. The Fair Maps proposal for nonpartisan redistricting has been around a while. What are your thoughts about the issue? And Mr. Blumenschein, you go first.
Well, in my opening remarks, I said that. You know, if we truly want to be serious about having voters choose the people who are in Springfield, then we're going to put in place fair maps. We're going to open up the Constitution. That's what the governor wants to do, right? That's what he proposed with this fair tax, right? He wants to open up the Constitution. Let's open it up. Right now, we cannot even touch the Constitution of Illinois. It's mandated 2028. So I want to see it open up now. And if we're going to put the fair tax in, let's put in term limits. Let's put in fair mapping. We've got to do something because it's not going to stop. The corruption's not going to go away. We have too many people that are receiving way too much money from people that aren't you and I, the taxpayers here in the 105th.
Representative Brady.
The fair map proposal is something that this state desperately needs. Under the system that we have, the majority party draws the lines for federal and state boundaries. That is something that I would love to see changed. I would love to see a system that we look at that advances and works with technology, such as Iowa has, not the most recent caucus. The balance of lines, of district boundary lines. There has been, and I applaud, numerous groups that have worked on petition drives and having their voice to be heard when it comes to signatures for a fair map. We will have legislation as the Republican House caucus asking for fair maps. And I can only hope that in some of the comments that our present governor has made about wanting to be part of fair maps and having fair maps distinction and drawn, that he works with us as Republicans to do just that. Because if it's left to the speaker, which it is right now, the map system is going to stay the same. That's the reality of it.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're at the ISU Alumni Center in Normal with Dan Brady and David Paul Blumenschein, Republican primary candidates for State House in the 105th District. This forum is co-sponsored by GLT and the McLean County League of Women Voters. By now, most people have heard about the deplorable email from a lobbyist connected to Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. The lobbyist asked for consideration for a state worker who had been loyal on several issues, including keeping quiet about the, quote, rape in Champaign. Yeah, well, that's now under investigation, more than a few of them. What ethics and transparency measures do you believe should be enacted in light of that? And Representative Brady, you are first.
There are, going back maybe, I think we should probably go back to the veto session when much of what you just talked about broke as far as a news story. Obviously, it's mind-boggling to think that something along those lines is discovered not only in an email and that someone's actually trying to help patronize someone who covered something up. The legislation that we pushed for in the fall veto session was completely watered down. In fact, ours never got called by the majority party. There's two areas that I think could help initially, and those bills have been filed in the House where myself and the leader are chief co-sponsors of the legislation. One deals with the fact that there would be no longer any legislator who could have any type of lobbying ties, connections, which they still can, and be receiving compensation for it to work on the municipality side of some form of government while they're a sitting state representative. That's number one. Number two, I believe that we could do a much stronger job when it comes to our economic statements disclosures when, for instance, what judges have to go through and disclose versus what we have to go through and disclose, that we could certainly expand that and tighten that up. With all that being said, isn't it a sad state of affairs to think that we have to come up with some type of legislation that simply says right from wrong, and we can't think about that and know what's right and wrong in our own minds?
Mr. Blumenschein.
You know, I was telling this story the other day. I grew up in Peoria, Illinois, and my brother and I used to go out to Brimfield, and there was an old abandoned building, and it was rumored that Al Capone used to come down from Chicago and hang out there. And we, you know, as teenagers were mesmerized by that, right? The gangsters have come down out of Chicago to Brimfield, Illinois. Well, guess what? The gangsters don't come out of Chicago and go to Brimfield any longer. They come out of Chicago and they go to Springfield. If we're truly going to fight corruption, and I've said this over and over, there's only two things you can do in Springfield. You can either fight the corruption or you can benefit from it. but you can't do both. We need fighters. Right now, unfortunately, 50% of the people running in this upcoming election cycle are running unopposed. That's not a problem of those people running. That's our problem, guys. We need to do something about it. We want to beat back corruption? Then we need to take Illinois back. It is our home. And when somebody does that to your home, I hope you get fighting mad.
I'm going to ask a one-minute follow-up here. That particular email came to light because of a Freedom of Information Act request. In light of that, should lawmaker emails be subject to FOIA? Why or why not? And since we're still on the initial question, it's a follow-up. Representative Brady, you start.
I believe that it should be. I conduct myself right now when it comes to email, that any email that comes out of my office, has the potential of being FOIA'd. I know it has the potential of going into hands and being distorted or what have you, but I think that is something that has merit and that should be done. The confidentiality side of things should remain on private emails, not state emails.
And Mr. Blumenschein.
Yes, you're a public servant. I think transparency is critical. You come to be a citizen statesman. And I think part of the reason that we have this corruption eruption that's gone on the last few years is because we don't have transparency, but we also don't have term limits. People sit back and they have a run for a long time, and that's a whole nother topic, probably not a question you're going to ask, but it deals with special interests. You know, our politicians are sitting back and they're winning elections because 91% of the time the incumbent's going to win because he's going to raise the most money. And where does he get that money? He doesn't get that from most of the taxpayers in his district. He gets it from special interest. As long as we have so much money in politics, and the game's going to continue to be played the same way.
All righty, we have a new question. Mr. Blumenschein,
do I get a follow-up on that?
Yes, okay. There is time for one-minute follow-ups.
Thank
Go ahead.
You very much. Thank you. My opponent was referring to term limits. And in the last election cycle, seems very similar to this election cycle, the electorate gave me a term extension. They didn't give me a term limit mandate. They said, Representative, in a very large percentage of vote, you continue to work hard on our behalf. You continue to stay above board and do the right thing, and we continue to put our trust in you. And that's what the electorate system is about. When you start talking term limits, what are we going to take away from the people who are supposed to make the decisions? We're smarter than them now. They should know. We should know how much longer someone should stay in office, what that term should or shouldn't be. We know because we have a difference in philosophy with somebody that makes us better. That makes us know the district better, or the people better they represent, or work harder on their behalf. Is that what we're coming to, ladies and gentlemen? If we are, that's a sad state of affairs when you stand as a representative in front of the people for re-election if you choose to do it every 2 years.
Okay, also 1 minute, Mr. Blumenschein.
Thank you. Yes, we were here two years ago, and we talked a little bit about term limits. And then that following fall, we put it to a non-binding ballot initiative here in McLean County. Do you know what percentage voted for term limits in McLean County? 92%, Representative Brady.
The same that put me back in office.
That's right, but they put you back in office before you raised the gas tax and 19 other taxes and voted for a capital bill, and now we're $250 billion in the hole.
You know you're not right when you say 19 other taxes.
All right.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, there's 19 other taxes. I think they've been listed. I think that
let's prove that.
That's facts. That's not fiction.
That's fiction, and you're the king of it.
That's not fiction.
Let's have one person at a time here. It's still Mr. Blumenschein.
I think my time was kind of pounced on a little bit. So I guess that's the question I have. If 92% of the voters in the 105th, or a good portion of the 105th, decided that they want term limits,
okay,
then what do you think
Thank
that
you, sir.
Term limit should be?
Thank you, sir.
I think that's how they voted in the election, what they wanted.
New question. In light of the effects of the Rauner budget standoff still with Illinois, generally, when is compromise good, and when should any lawmaker stand on principle? Please tell voters your approach, how to draw the line, because it's a variable one, about working across the aisle and compromising. And Mr. Blumenschein, you have first go at this.
I'm all for working across the aisle. But at this point in the state of Illinois, it's really hard to work across the aisle. See, in the past 3 years, I've spent a little time down at the Capitol. Representative Brady knows that. We've kind of crossed paths down there. Mr. Madigan hands paper off to people on the other side of the aisle. They don't dare deviate from what Mr. Madigan wants. If they do deviate, they don't find themselves in that seat very long. We need to clean up Springfield on both sides of the aisle, not just the Democratic side, but the Republican side. And that's where we need to start and put our stake in the sand. We need to draw a line. And that line is we need to end corruption. And right now, I think the Fed is hot on the trail of Mr. Madigan. And hopefully we can see some movement in Springfield. And some of these representatives some of these senators like Cullerton, Sandoval, who've already been indicted, we're going to see more of that. That's what we need.
Representative Brady, the question was about working across the aisle and when to compromise and when to stand on principle.
I'm in the minority as a Republican. Don't like that. Wish it was different, but I'm in the minority. Now I have to work across the aisle to try and get things done from my district. I do that to the best of my ability. And I try and balance when you draw that line. For 2 years, we had no budget in this state. And we had a governor, a Republican, and we had a Speaker of the House, a Democrat. And they simply couldn't get along. Ask yourself what each and every one of you got out of that stalemate. I'd venture to guess if you could stand up and answer, you'd say, I don't think anything. The first year that stalemate went on, I had people tell me in my district, stand your ground. Stay with them. Tell the governor keep doing what he's doing. Shortly after that time frame, I had the same kind of people, conservatives, very conservative people, stopping me, telling me, what the hell are you people doing down there? Get something done. Figure something out. This is insane what's going on in government. You can't sit down as adults and figure out a budget and a way to get along. What's wrong with you? All of you. Point being, see how people's fuse is pretty darn short? They want things done. They want something tangible. We may not agree on how we get it done. We may not agree on everything, and we won't. And the reality is we have to continue to try and work to the best of our ability. That majority party is what you have to try and get along with.
Thank you, sir.
And there's good ones.
And that response brings us to the end of the question period of the forum and to two-minute closing statements. Representative Brady, you went second for opening statements. You can lead off for closings.
Well, first off, thank you to each and every one of you for being here tonight and for our sponsors. I have an opponent that believes the state of Illinois should ignore the fact we have not had a major capital bill, an infrastructure bill, since 2008. That we have over $27 billion in public building needs that include schools, universities, parks, libraries, and museums. And our roads and bridges have $30 billion in deferred maintenance price tag. Our motor fuels tax has not been increased since 1990. Well, I can't ignore it. And my constituents won't let me forget it either. With their constant stories of accidents, close calls, damage to their vehicles from being on our roads. That's why I voted to hold state government accountable and supported a construction budget that pumps over $170 million for improvements to McLean and Livingston County roads and bridges covering over 166 miles and producing hundreds of jobs to provide the work in the 105th District. Our schools and universities like Illinois State have and will receive sorely needed capital improvements for health, life, and safety building projects. Saying no in a time of desperate need is easy. Voting yes and negotiating as many new taxes out of the capital bill with the Democrats was hard. However, House Republicans stopped new taxes like the real estate transfer tax at $34 million, bottled water tax at $19 million, a rental car tax at $8 million, a beer, liquor, and wine tax at $120 million, to name a few. Over 650 million new taxes stopped by House Republicans. I put my heart and soul in my work for the people of the 105th District. Recently, Jim Kelly, a constituent, sent me a note and thanked me for working on his behalf. In his letter, he said, "While I was hopeful that you could help me, I was also aware of how entrenched executive bureaucracies can become. This resolution to my problem and other retirees that you've helped is a testament to your hard work and effectiveness and an example of representative government at work.
Thank you,
Our
sir.
Our district is lucky to have you."
And
thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and I ask for your vote on March 17th.
So it started out at $4 billion, and now it's $250 billion. I have to ask a few questions. Are you better off today than you were 20 years ago? I have another question to ask, and I won't ask you to raise your hands. How many of you had the discussion about leaving the state of Illinois? How many of you think we can move this state any further with the same career politicians who have brought us to this point? I too thank you for all showing up tonight and participating. Illinois is my home. Early voting has started. It started last Friday. I encourage you to get out there. St. Patrick's Day this year is the day of the election. Let's go out there. Get as many people as you can get. Let's make Illinois home again.
Thank you, candidates, for participating in this on-location edition of Sound Ideas and 105th State House District Republican Primary Candidates Forum, co-sponsored with the League of Women Voters and WGLT. Thanks to ISU for providing the venue for this event at the University Alumni Center. Thanks as well to our timekeepers from the League, Susan Alford and Becky Hines. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The election is March 17th. Go vote. This is WGLT Normal, a service of Illinois State University's School of Communication.